Welcome to Reality TV, your source for snarky reality TV recaps of all the shows we love and love to hate. From TLC to MTV, A&E to Bravo and more, no show is off limits to the truth as I see it, all from the couch just like you. I'm Jody, your inner voice and best friend who says all the things you're thinking, but you have the manners to never say aloud. Be sure you're subscribed to the show so you never miss a week, and find me everywhere at Reality TV Pod. Support the show and score some amazing perks and merch, as well as some bonus episodes at Patreon.com/RealityTVPod. Now sit back, it's time to get salty. Hello from the other side. Just call me Adele because I am the last survivor in this house right now that does not have the norovirus. If you are lucky enough to have children who are healthy right now, hold on to them tight, put them in a bubble, John Travolta style from the 70s, and keep them there because this thing that my kids picked up, I don't even want to tell you what I've been dealing with for the last, oh God, whatever 72 plus 24 is. I can't even do math right now because I'm going on basically zero sleep, which is why I am thrilled to be here right now. We have so much good stuff to talk about. We have the Sister Wives Tell All Part 2, but better than that is the 90 Day Fiancé, want to make sure I get this right, What Now series that is on TLC. They might be airing them throughout the week, but I watched them on the TLC app. Well, actually, it wasn't the TLC app. I have DirecTV, and I did the on-demand. And for some reason, DirecTV, you don't get the TLC app, but you can get it on demand. Go figure, whoever the hell these network people are, they really jack you up. But I highly suggest you watch them. And if you can't get any access to it, don't worry. I'm bringing you the best of the best and the best of the worst moments from couples that we've seen last season and beyond. So stick around for that after the Sister Wives Tell All. But before that, we got to take a little dip in the shallow end of the news. Actually, I kind of hesitate calling this the shallow end because this is some pretty deep, dark shit. This Free Britney hashtag, I'm sure you've seen it, and if you have no idea what it is, I'm going to give it to you in a nutshell. And actually, my Patreon that I posted last week, that's patreon.com/realityvpod, I had my friend Tony come on. She is a fellow Baddest Apple member. She knows all about this stuff. She's been following Britney's Gram podcast for quite a while, and she gave me really the rundown of it all. But in case you are not a member on Patreon, which you should, and you have no idea what we're talking about, here is a little Cliff's Notes version. According to sources close to Britney, and again, this is all allegedly, Britney Spears is being held against her will in a mental health facility, and also, and I think more importantly, this conservatorship that she is under, that her father, Jamie, he is the conservator, this conservatorship is permanent. It's not like Amanda Bynes's, where it was like 5 years, or she's got 5 years to get her shit together. This is a lifetime conservatorship. Her legal rights, her money, her work schedule, you know, she can't drive a car. To me, it's a very telling sign that her mom, Lynn, is liking all of these tweets and comments that people are making. Now, remember, Britney's parents are divorced, and so her mom, it appears, has kind of taken her side and speaking by liking tweets without having to open her mouth and actually say anything herself. Now, whether Britney is being held at this inpatient facility against her will, that is one thing. You know, if she can headline a show and employ hundreds, if not thousands of people, and have a very rigorous workout schedule, work schedule, and she's making money that she has zero control of, you think there would be an end goal in mind for her to regain her independence and regain custody of her kids. I think it's really a case of a lot of people having a lot of stake in Britney, and I hope that this is nothing. You know, that really is a sincere hope that Britney is being handled and taken care of by people who love her and have her best interest in mind, but there's just some red flags, you know? And I guess we're just gonna have to see where this goes over the next few weeks because it really is gaining momentum. And I don't think this video of her over the weekend, just Google it, Britney Spears Easter weekend, I don't think it's really helping her case, which I think her handlers thought it was going to do, or I guess helping their case. Whatever I just said, again, you guys are going to have to go with me today. I'm probably going to be extra salty because I'm extra sleepy and extra bitter. Now, I'm going to switch gears a little bit, and we're going to talk about the royal baby. We are all on royal baby watch, and I don't believe the conspiracies that are going around. There are some saying that she's already given birth or that something's wrong with the baby. Maybe they had a surrogate, that she was really pregnant when they got married, and so they had to play with the timeline. She's, you know, there's all this crazy shit. I am probably one of the first people to question some of Meghan's choices, but it comes from a place of pure jealousy because, all right, let's be honest. Despite me being, I think, a pretty diehard feminist, I really just want to be a princess. I want to live in a palace. I want to have a favorite little local British bakery. They deliver scones to me every morning, and it's not because they have to. It's because they love me. They think I'm lovable. Maybe they come in and they make a delicious clotted cream. We have tea together, although I'm more of a coffee drinker. I do. I fantasize about being a princess, and I really dare any of you to admit you don't also. But let's talk about royal baby names. I don't often talk about this, but here you go. I accurately predicted Meghan's wedding gown down to the exact type of boat neck and 3/4 sleeves, and I have two of my very best lifelong friends that can verify this. We had a sleepover the night before the wedding, and I had a different vision in mind. I thought it was going to be kind of a close body, very Grace Kelly lace thing. And then all of a sudden, right before we fell asleep, I said, okay, I'm changing my mind. I see a boat neck, very, very plain, 3/4 sleeves, describe the whole thing. Basically, I'm a visionary. Now, we were talking about baby names on Moms on the Rocks, and my girl Carrie, she said Liam for a boy, and I really feel strongly about that too. I think Liam could be a strong contender. Also for a boy, and this is going on the record, here's a list of my top picks along with Liam. Samuel, Richard, I'm really feeling a strong Theodore, Frederick, Edward, Arthur. Okay, I got three more. Benjamin, a Leo or a Leon, and maybe this is a real random one here, but I don't know why I'm feeling it. Aaron, AARON. Now for girls' names, again, this is going on the record. I'm thinking Alice, Margaret, Elizabeth, because, you know, who's not going to suck up to the queen? Let's be honest. Agnes could be bringing the Agnes back. This next one, I think, may be a strong possibility, even if it's a middle name. I'm going with Charity. I know you're feeling it. It's like the very philanthropic African orphanage vibe kind of thing. All right. Eloise, Eleanor, Frances, Anna, and these last three I actually think are strong contenders. Cordelia, it kind of gives me Anne of Green Gables vibes. Rosalind, I think was Princess Diana's grandma's name. Maybe they'll call her Rose or something. And the last one, Theodora. So there you go. I have it all narrowed down for you. All we have to do is wait. But you know what? It's on the record. Like I said, the record will speak for itself. Now, Patreon, thank you to our newest members, Emily, Cher, Amy, who I believe is actually a Dr. Amy, Kathy, Danielle, Joni, Tanisha, Paige, Alyssa, Amanda. Thank you. Your stickers are on the way. You and our current Patreon members, you guys are keeping this podcast going. And trust me, my family and I thank you from the deepest, darkest, blackest places of my heart. Coming up this week on Patreon, a little Teen Mom too, but mostly I'm talking the ladies who punch. Amanda's coming on with me. We have both read the book at least twice, or audiobook if that counts as reading. We're talking about Star Jones's dressing room with the mouse story because I cannot get enough of that. I listened to that part, which was only about 2 minutes, at least 4 or 5 times, and I played it for basically everyone I know. So tune into Patreon. It's going to be a really good one this week. also on Total Request Podcast. That's at patreon.com/AmandaAndJody. We're talking Drag Race. This is such a good episode. Nick, Amanda's co-host from Squirrel Friends Cocktail Hour, helped us out. I even taught them something about Adore that they did not know. If you watch The Soup back in the day and you watch Drag Race and you have not put two and two together, just wait for it because it's going to blow your fucking mind. Speaking of things that will blow your mind, did you know Mary Brown of the Sister Wives was catfished? I know. You see, because of this catfishing thing, this is where I'm transitioning into talking about Sister Wives Tell All. Cody thought that Mary might have been using this Parowan B&B as an out. Okay, here we go. It's going to be brief because I really want to get to my most favorite parts. So turns out Mary was not going to use the bed and breakfast as an out. That's just simply where her mom lives. Oh man, Cody, you are so, so wrong. But there was one thing that Cody was right about, and it's that the B&B is a bad investment. I'm pulling up my Catholic roots here. It was, it is, and ever shall be. Amen. Bold choice for TLC to give us an Everybody Hates Mary greatest hits montage, and it paid off. My favorite of all of those clips was Christine telling Mary that she brings baggage and heaviness into any room she enters. Christine continues to be my favorite wife. She really is a hoot to be around. Yeah, she's weird and most of her kids are kind of fucking annoying, but I really enjoy Christine. I think she's out of that little kid phase, minus Truly. I think being out of the toddler phase and the baby phase, you kind of remember who you are. And it looks like a young Christine without young kids was really a blast to be around. Maybe Dina Cortese of Jersey Shore might even call her a blast in a glass. I think she's ballsy. I think she gives no fucks. She goes for it. I mean, how many times have you wanted to tell someone in your life they bring a heaviness and baggage into the room when they enter? Oh, I'll just leave it there. I'm going to live vicariously through her and just enjoy imagining telling that to people that I can't stand. Okay, then we get Robin, who talks about her sister wives and how her fillings are and how she deals with her fillings. And guess what? People like Bernie and Dimitri are considered pariahs in the polygamous community because they are actively seeking wives themselves. Pretty shocking, right? I mean, have they told the other ontological architects in this world that Dimitri is giving them a bad name? Oh, hold on. What? You're all screaming at me that there are no such things as ontological architects? Yeah, got it. All right, we're all on the same page. Now let's get to the good stuff, and that is the brown children, or should I say the brown young adults. We have Maddie and Caleb, who, you know, no one gives a shit. We have Aspen and Mitch, still concerned because I think she is more into him than he is into her, and I do not like that. She deserves better. Then we have Mariah and Audrey. This may not be a popular opinion, but I wish I liked Audrey more. I don't know why I don't like her. I'm just admitting to it. I'm living my truth. And then, of course, who else is there? Da Belle of Da Ball, Tony. And McKelty, but really we're looking at Tony because wow, Tony looks like he could be the ugly triplet of Mariah and Audrey. I mean, what the hell happened to Tony? I think he's trying to pull a Rosie O'Donnell lookalike thing. Maybe he himself wants to be a lady who punches. He's trying to get Rosie's spot on The View. What the hell is happening? I don't know if he wore a cardigan or if I'm just imagining him wearing a cardigan. Don't you just picture him wearing a navy blue, chunky knit button down, like the old school wooden buttons? If he wasn't wearing that, it is something that is in his closet. That is for sure. I mean, I really was excited to see him. You know, I love him. I hate him. I'm always cringing. And I almost missed the best line of probably the entire episode. And it is when Tony said, "Christine's a strong woman. She even said to me, I can drive a semi. through your face. Excuse me? When would that ever be a funny comment? I mean, if someone told me to my face that they wanted to drive a semi through my face, I'd immediately know that they're not joking around. They fucking hate me. But instead, Tony thinks this is a sign of like the women's lib movement. He thinks it's great that Christine wants to drive a semi through his face. God. I mean, Tony, he just continues to deliver. I love to hate him. He really should be getting a spinoff instead of Family Chantel. Maybe we need to talk to the TLC people and see if they can replace, because as much as I am annoyed by McKelty and Tony is just kind of a terrible person, but in some ways lovable and hateable, that's a spinoff I for sure would watch. Now, no smooth transition for Soo-Chin. She just goes right into the kill. Mariah, about your mom's catfishing. Yes, tell us about the catfishing, Mariah. Tell us all about how you think your mom is the one to blame. Just let it burn. Do the Roseanne Barr and She-Devil. Just light it up and walk away. Let it all out, Mariah, please. She's normally pretty diplomatic about it, and she started off subtle enough like she always does. Like, I don't really give a shit. But she did start to get into it. And then, frickin' Audrey has got to pipe up. And you know what? Maybe this is why I dislike Audrey. I just feel like she jumps in, and she's not even an in-law yet. I mean, yeah, okay, they're engaged, but still. Audrey's job at this point is just to sit there and smile. Don't go jumping in on advice and how you are being the one to help them navigate it all. You know what I mean? It's just like she's in it too much. She's not a Brown yet. She didn't sign the mission statement with the rest of the kids. No, no. Just sit there and rip up your jeans and zip it. Now, other than that, we find out Tony and McKelty have a dog. They don't want kids yet. Phew. Aspen and Mitch are finishing school. Good for them. I like that move. Then they're going to be moving to Northern Utah to be closer to Mitch's family. And then also, Maddie and Caleb are moving to North Carolina for some reason. If one of you knows, let me know why they're moving to North Carolina. It just seems like a random move. And also, she's pregnant again. Now, lastly, we have a little dance montage. One last moment for our Cody Brown, to shine bright like a diamond. And I really hope his diamond is shiny enough, because I just read on Sarcasm this very morning that the Browns owe taxes on their properties in Arizona that they have not yet paid. And perhaps that is because they still have two more houses on the market in that cul-de-sac. Janelle's just sold, and also Robin's sold. Robin's was the first to sell because, of course, you know, maybe because it has the greenest grass and all the cul-de-sac and it's the biggest house. But Mary's and Christine's are still on the market. So maybe if you are in the Las Vegas area, you're looking for a steal and you're looking for a hell of a wet bar, head on over to, well, wherever the hell it is. Don't really care. But you know what? I will pay you a monthly stipend if you just get your hands on a GoPro and go into Robin's old house, because I want to see that backyard. I want some side-by-sides, street views of the different houses and how Robin's was probably the best one of all of them. Okay, quick break, and we'll be back with the best and the worst of 90 Day Fiancé, What Now? All right, I am back, and I'm checking in and updating you on my FabFitFun obsession. This is a true story. I love the sample box they sent me so much that I actually signed myself up and ordered a second, nearly identical box because I loved it so much. The beauty about FabFitFun is that you can customize what you want or be totally surprised. And the 2019 FabFitFun Post-Spring Editor's Box is on sale right now. I'm clueless when it comes to upscale beauty and lifestyle products, but that's why I signed up for FabFitFun. They find the best products to choose from, and because they work their magic, you get a huge box packed packed with full-sized items for only $49.99 a box. It really is like having Christmas four times a year. For example, the Post Spring Editor's Box that's on sale right now has a really cute pair of Diff sunglasses, one of my favorite mascaras, Tarte Lights Camera Lashes, and Way of Will Nail and Cuticle Serum that I desperately need after a long dry winter. Now, I may be going overboard, but the Levito Body Lotion, I'm obsessed. It's the third time that I've asked for it in a FabFitFun box, but I can't help it. It's thick, but not greasy. It smells super citrusy. It's perfect for summer. So forget about flowers or an I Heart Mug Mom for Mother's Day. Sign your mom or yourself up for FabFitFun. You know, you gotta treat yourself sometimes. And it's not just a one day of the year gift. It's all year. Every 3 months, you'll get a gift box beautifully packaged with full-size items for only $49.99. I'm really glad my oldest sister doesn't listen to this because it also makes the perfect gift for godmothers or aunts. Or even think about a college student. You want to send a care package, boom, done. You know they're going to love it. You can customize it. You can have FabFitFun choose for you based on your preferences. And no matter what, every box is guaranteed to have over $200 in value. The Post Spring Editor's Box total value is anywhere from $238 to $340. Because it's expensive to be me, I did the math and mine was $320 for only $49.99. And you can choose add-ons to each box too. I added the Tula Purifying Facial Cleanser because someone in our Facebook group told me about it and it is perfect for sensitive skin. It's a huge value, hands down a massive bang for your buck, and this is an honest to God endorsement. The only issue I have right now is that my daughter's trying to steal my This Works Deep Pillow Spray every night. So sign up for FabFitFun today. These boxes always sell out. So use my code RTV to get $10 off your first box. Go to FabFitFun.com to sign up and start getting the box for a life well lived. Use promo code RTV to get $10 off your first box. That's over $200 for only $39.99. Go to FabFitFun, use my code RTV to get $10 off your first FabFitFun box. All right. First of all, I want to thank you to the, oh my gosh, I probably had five or six of you send me direct messages posting in the Facebook group about having to watch these extra clips, the What Now clips. And I'm saying clips because I don't know why TLC divides it up. For example, the David and Annie update, there's a David and Annie part one, part two, part three, and they're each like 9 minutes, 11 minutes. So you have to go through and find them in order. It's freaking crazy. There's got to be an easier way to do it. And also, they have them cut up individually. And I'm telling you this because I'm doing you a favor, not wasting your time in your DVR space. They're also taking all of these What Now clips and putting them all together, repackaging it under another name, What Now, What About Me. So if you're seeing all these different things coming up on your DVR or things coming up like Our Journey So Far, do not bother. It's all the same shit repackaged. Just stick to Sunday nights. That's going to be the new stuff. And then in the TLC app or on your on-demand, just search for it. Do the What Now, each of the individual couples. You can also catch the first 30 minutes or first hour of the episode that's going to be on this Sunday night, April 28th. It looks like it's going to be a three-hour episode. I mean, I love 90 Day Fiancé, but 3 hours is a lot, you guys. So I really hope it's really going to be 2 hours from now on because that's like a full commitment. That's like having another child or another pet. Okay, so let's talk about what's going on. I'm going to tell you, I didn't watch all of the couples because some of them are just boring. I don't need to know. I don't think any of us are really invested in the sex of Kalani's baby. I did start watching that one, by the way. And here's your update. They got a real Christmas tree. Asuelu didn't get it wrapped up, so they just throw it up on top. He wears a Santa hat, which I'm not a fan of actual humans wearing Santa hats. Don't do it. Please don't be a Santa hat wearer. And then they find out that she's having another boy. There you go. I just saved you 30 minutes of your life. Oh, and he calls piñatas pina coladas. I mean, it's pretty cute, but do I need 30 minutes of it? No. I also did not watch the update of Tariq and Hazel. I really don't care that his brother met a foreign woman, and I really don't care to have a 30-minute infomercial of his aspiring rap career. The couples that I did want to find out what's new are David and Annie, Molly, and really it's Molly and Uncle Jesse. You guys, just brace yourself. Danielle, as much as it's annoying and nothing changes with Danielle, I could listen to her say Mohammed for hours. And last but not least, Lawrence and Jenny, my Larry. He's back, and the update was just everything. But first, let's talk about David and Annie. Turns out David has a job. Now, despite him having a job, earning a paycheck, he's still shit-talking Chris and Nikki. Now remember, they gave him not one, but two roofs or roofs. It's roofs, right? R-O-O-F-S. It's not like loaf loaves. Anyhow, he's given them two roofs over their heads, but that's not enough. He wants, I think, cold hard cash or a mortgage-free home. I don't know what his point in making Nikki look like this horrible, selfish person, which I don't think anyone with two brain cells watching this thinks that. I mean, who's going to think Nikki is a horrible person for, you know, wanting to save the money that comes into her home for her kids, for their mortgage or college savings accounts? It's just ridiculous. Now, like I said, David and Annie, they moved out of that first place, the motherfucking firehouse, as Brother Antonio aptly named it when he came on way back when. Now they're living in the manager's apartment at that storage facility that Chris owns that we saw the last season they were on. However, David and Annie don't like it. They want a House Hunter special or something. You know when you watch House Hunters and you're like, how the hell are these people being so picky? Or how are they paying for a house when they have no jobs? David wants an office and a spare room for new ass that he has. And also an entertainment space so they can have David's friend over. Where they got this friend, this woman to cook them dinner, I don't know if she was on speed or she put her finger in a socket to dry her hair and to just jack her up to have them over. This woman was, I was having anxiety just watching her. I don't know what David did to get her agree to be on this thing. Probably told her that he could get her on The Real Housewives or something. This was going to be her TLC-produced sizzle reel. I had a hard time focusing during this whole scene, and I don't even really know what they were talking about. Something about the American dream, but I just kept looking at that chicken and really hoping to God that they have a good plumbing system at the storage facility because that chicken looked kind of raw. Like they were tearing into that chicken carcass. It looked disgusting. All right, moving forward, what else did we find out? Oh, big storyline, big plot twist. David is not so thorough. I know, who would have thought? He seems like he is just always on the ball. We find out that David's been slacking on this paperwork that Annie needs to get completed just to get her work permit. I like to think that I'm pretty good at seeing if people are lying or being truthful, but I could not tell with David. When they're in that coffee shop and Annie's talking about her not trusting David's ability to follow through, I couldn't tell whether she was being sincere, and I couldn't tell whether David was acting, because when he is faking for the camera, he gets that penguin smile. I'm sure you've seen the GIF or the meme. Well, he has that smile on his face in the coffee shop, and he always has that smile on his face when he's lying, but that's the thing. He's always lying, so how do you know if it's possible or when he's telling the truth? Moving forward, later on, over some omelets cooked on the floor in the storage facility's kitchenette, those eggs looked exactly like the eggs that John Candy makes in Uncle Buck. You know what I'm talking about, where Macaulay Culkin's like, oh, he's cooking our garbage. It looks pretty nasty. But anyway, David hands Annie her work permit, and they laugh and they joke about Annie joining the military, and she'll be working while David's swimming with the dolphins in Hawaii while she fights Kim Jong-un. And, well, Annie was joking, but we all know that David was taking notes, and, you know, he's probably looking into scuba suits that will fit his womanly frame. Now, Annie practices driving Chris's Hummer that's wrapped in his Fort Knox logo. And I really want to talk about this because if Chris is such a terrible friend, yet he is giving you a place to live, he's giving you a very nice vehicle to drive and to practice driving in, I'd suggest you keep your mouth shut at this point. You are skating on very thin ice with Chris and Nikki. And may I just say, I don't think David is an ice skating type. He doesn't have the stereotypical figure for it, nor do I. But let's talk about this for a second. I don't think Chris is a saint. I've heard so many things about him, but I have strong opinions because either Chris and David are liars because it just doesn't make sense that they be helping each other out at this point. Something's got to be going on. Is it that they both need the paycheck? Is it that they have information on each other, some deep, dark shit, so they have to kind of toe the line with each other? It just doesn't make sense. Lastly, we get an update on David's son, Jacob. Thank God this kid is doing well. He's alive. It really is a miracle. If you don't remember what happened, his son, Jacob, was with a friend. The friend had a gun, didn't think it was loaded, pointed it at Jacob's face and shot him. I don't want to get too political here, but seriously, we need some fucking gun control in this country. But we're talking about 90 Day Fiancé, and besides that being one of the scariest stories I've ever heard, we get the scariest Halloween costumes of all time, and that's David being, I don't know what the hell it is. He said a cat burglar, but really he was in kitty cat makeup paired with his uniform of a black turtleneck and faded black pants. Whatever he was supposed to be, it's going to give me nightmares. But we can take solace and wrap up David and Annie's story with knowing that Jacob is going to be okay. I hope this is the end of the journey that we see with David and Annie. Just keep doing their Instagram thing, find some jobs, do your thing, and c'est la vie. Now let's move on to Larry and Jenny. My Lair Bear, my furry little ferret friend, I missed him. Oh, I didn't realize how much space Larry had in my heart. He's an overgrown 7-year-old boy. He's got the face of like a 55-year-old man. And I don't think I'm the only one who thinks that because turns out he lives in an RV park for seniors. Like you have to be 55 or older. I would love to know how he pulled that off because those places are usually pretty strict. I remember years ago, my mom just went looking at some of those senior, well, it wasn't an RV park, but a community. And, well, okay, it had been more than a few years ago because I was still in college. And they were like, nope, cannot have kids, come home from college and live here for the summer. They're super strict about it. So whatever he did, he's just the freaking best. He's the type of person who has no common sense, but somehow he makes seemingly illogical decisions at times because moving into a 55 and up RV park, that's fucking brilliant, you guys. He's exactly right. It's going to be safer. It's going to be cleaner. It's probably going to be visually more appealing. God damn it, Larry. You are a secret genius. Ugh, love this man. Now, the jury is still out whether Jenny is going to appreciate Larry in the way that I appreciate him because she's finally arriving from the Philippines after a year or more of planning. Larry is just a bundle of nerves. Like, I've never seen anyone this nervous. The way that he was nervous gripping onto his chocolates and a single red rose with baby's breath is probably how I would look going into prison if I were falsely accused of something. He can't breathe. He keeps saying that he's going to puke. He's going to be sick. He can't believe it. He's grilling every passenger coming down through the terminal. When he barked at the one guy coming from Manila, like I was scared. I jumped because I was not expecting that large voice to come out of such a small, kind of looks sickly, doesn't he? He's not, but maybe he just needs a warm cup of soup from Mama Jody. But anyhow, I love him. Jenny, she's a lucky woman. She's got to be the most loved woman on this planet. You know Larry is going to do anything for her. It's just adorable. I think Larry is a children's book orphaned raccoon. He just needs to be loved like little baby Bambi. And Jenny can just swoop in and just love him back. That's all she's got to do is just love him back. And he's going to be the happiest little baby ferret, raccoon, furry creature in all the forest. Actually, you know what? I think I figured it out. I think I've taken Larry's fictional character to another level. You know that movie Enchanted with Amy Adams, where she is a cartoon and then she comes to life? She comes up the little sewer pipe thing? That's Larry. Larry is a lovable, orphaned, furry forest creature who stumbles into like a little trap, and then he's transported into real people world. God damn it, Larry, how are you so lovable? All right, well, let's get back to the actual reality. They get to the RV park, and you know what? I gotta say, I agree with Larry. It's downright lovely. He's got a neighbor across the street. If you look in the background of one of the scenes, this woman, I'm assuming it's a woman because there is a pink Volkswagen Bug. There is a pinked out golf cart with a furry, fuzzy steering wheel thing. So, you know, she's gonna be a hoot. They're gonna have great neighbors. I love the place. Seniors are my jam. I would move into that place in a heartbeat. Also, my jam is Larry's son, Lucian. Lucian is exactly like Larry, but he's got common sense and street smart. He's got the smarts that Larry doesn't have. Honestly, he seems like a nice kid. And the way that he was talking with Jenny when he was slicing up way too many tomatoes, she was just hacking away at that lettuce. What the fuck that was, I don't know. But he is really an open and empathetic kid. I don't think you're going to find a lot of teenagers who are thinking about another adult's driving situation and whether they feel isolated or not. So I approve of Lucian. Now, in a surprise twist, was not expecting this moment to ever come in my lifetime. We meet Mother Larry, Mother Lawrence, if you will. Her name is Marianne. Saint Marianne of Pinellas County, Florida. She is a breath of fresh. She is a hell of a shopping pal, and what a darling mother-in-law she's going to be to Jenny. Jenny is practically clinging to her as they're shopping for wedding dresses, and oh God, I can't even talk about Jenny talking to her mom. I can't do it because it makes me think about my daughter, and if I missed her, it would be horrible. But I will talk about the wackadoo bridal shop lady. Holy shit, the eyeshadow. She's got to step away from the YouTube tutorials. Janine, Jesus Christ, just close the laptop, back away. Now let's jump ahead to the wedding where Jenny, she looked pretty. The hair in a claw clip still managed to look beautiful, and Larry has got streams of clear boogers flooding down his upper lip throughout their vows, which made me love him even more. Normally I'd be disgusted and gagging, but Larry, I'll excuse it. Now, their wedding itself was in their RV park. Didn't look too terrible, but I think they could have maybe found a local park. But they drive off to the beach in a stretch limo, which for Larry, it's not too bad, not too shabby. I wish them all the best. Next up, let's talk about the one and only Danielle. Hi, I'm Danielle from Sadusky, Ohio. Where do we start with Danielle? Do we start with the annulment? Do we start with the Mohammeds and social media? Or shall we start with a plate of slop that Danielle chooses to order while she's treating Beth for lending her $200 when she was short on rent? You guys, it's just a lot. But we're not going to start with any of those. No, no, because Danielle is still claiming to be in nursing school. Take a moment. Nursing school. Now, I don't care if this is not a registered nurse program. I don't care if it is phlebotomy. It doesn't matter to me if it's a CNA position. I don't think Danielle should be anywhere near anything so much as a Band-Aid, an ACE bandage. Danielle is... she's that moron in infomercials that we know is made up, but she's like the real life version. She's the person that thinks shaving cream is too complicated or using a serrated knife is for geniuses like Emeril Lagasse or Mr. Belvedere. I don't even know where that came from. I have no idea. Oh, Mr. Belvedere. I'm just saying, we need to be more concerned. This needs to be on everyone's radar, coast to coast. Danielle getting into the healthcare arena? This is insane. That's where we need to focus. Forget this dating scene thing that she's trying to get into. I mean, I'm all about Beth agreeing to be Danielle's conservator, but we have to prioritize here. I really hope that it's just like an Oregon Trail version of nursing school. Like, it's not a real thing, but she thinks it is. This is very concerning. Now, also concerning is this makeover that Danielle's daughter gives her. I'm rooting for her daughter, but I just think the makeover was very understated. You know, I didn't notice a big difference between the before and after, but maybe that's a good thing. You know, like Danielle's personality should speak and not her contour or not her eyebrows. You know, we're all on an eyebrow journey. Well, you know, maybe with the bold lip, it did zhuzh things up a little bit. A little Carson Kressley throwback there. Now, the photos, on the other hand, Beth, my God. My dog could probably take better photos than Beth took, and I'm rooting for Beth. I love a Sandusky Beth, but you gotta pick a plain background or go outside or something. My eyes immediately went to that torch lamp behind Danielle's head and that frickin' kitchen chair that Beth had Danielle straddle. Like, what did that chair do to you, Beth? Why you gotta put her on that thing? Why you gotta put the chair through it? Would you want to be straddled, Beth? You want to be straddled by Danielle? Okay, moving on. We'll see what Danielle's journey is going to bring, because you know TLC is going to be bringing her back. She's just too good for TV. Now, lastly, we have Molly's update. There is a lot to unpack here. First of all, we got to talk about Molly's new look. You know, the cameras didn't just show up in her living room. Molly looks like a damn fucking mess. She's a beautiful woman, but she's wearing this black, it's not even a beanie cap because it's sticking up like 2 feet off her head. And she's got on this black floral frock, what my grandma would say. You know, Molly, you're beautiful. I know you can do better. I mean, I know she's cleaning out her house and I look like a shaggy wet dog when I'm cleaning. But you know, Molly, just do better. All right, do better. Now, with that out of the way, let's talk about Molly's hoarding issue. She invites her best friend over to help her, and she tears down this butcher paper. I think it was supposed to be like a big reveal. And we see her living room filled with shit. She says it's all Luis's stuff. I am saying, yeah, there may be some memories of him mixed in there, but that's also just a lot of extra home goods clearance rack shit. I know it when I see it because I'm guilty of it too sometimes. Now, the good news. Olivia, that's Molly's oldest teenage daughter, she's moved back into the house and she and Molly are on good terms. And Molly, she really must have been in a good mood when she moved back home because she went to some craft fair. She ordered custom ginormous leather earrings that look like pepperoni pizzas. Oh, and turns out Luis married someone else already because Molly finalized the divorce months ago. Bravo to her. All the kadoos from Ramona Singer and I for wrapping that shit up quickly. Now, if you watched this episode, you know what's next. Who gives a fuck about Molly and Luis? Because Jess, Uncle Jesse, the navy blue cutlass Sierra driving, smooth talking, ponytail wearing Uncle Jess. You guys, he's getting married and she's cute and she's Norwegian. Norwegian. She's basically what I think I should be reincarnated to look like in my next life, and I've always wanted to live in Norway. So basically, this young woman has stolen my dreams. She and Meghan Markle and Kate Middleton. Like, what the hell? And that's not even the worst part. Uncle Jesse's moving to Norway. He's going to marry this woman, and, you know, although I'm married and I have two kids, I really do feel heartbroken over this. I don't know why. I feel like Jesse and I have this connection. He doesn't know that I exist, but there is a connection there. I have a little hope left, a very small amount of hope, because the color combo on the sweater and the hat, something's standing out to me there. It just doesn't fit. This young, beautiful woman, why would she pick a bold blue and red to go together on a sweater? I mean, have you seen Jesse? This is where I feel like I know him better. Jesse would rather neutrals. He would rather a camo green. Do you not know him at all? And the hat, I mean, you make him wear a hat that says Norway that you know you totally picked up at the airport terminal before you got on the plane. He likes a Jackson 5 hat. You're taking away his Jackson 5 hat and you're putting him in a I like Norway hat, or someone who loves me got me this hat in Norway. That's all I have to say about that. So rest in peace. Goodbye, my lover. Goodbye, my friend. You've been the one. You've been the one for me, Jess. And with that, I will just say, tune into Patreon, follow me on Instagram, Twitter, find us on Facebook at Reality TV Pod. And until next time, until next week, let's all cheer up, chin up, as Jesse would say, pour a little wine out into a camouflage Yeti tumbler, and as always, stay salty.